Today, Friday, January the 24th, was the day of really leveling on the art project. Clark, Abe, Bill Walton, Pierre Salinger, Liz and I met in the Queen's room, that is the Queen's sitting room, to discuss art. I have decided that is the room where I'll be least interrupted and sort of my own little private retreat. The agenda, already prepared by Clark, gone over by Abe, considered by Walton, and now to be presented to Salinger and Liz, was 1. How to best continue and preserve and give a formal legal pattern to the wonderful things that have happened to the White House. Clark had prepared an executive order to be issued by the President, which Abe had changed only slightly, which involved the establishment of a curator as a permanent position rather than just a sort of a whim of the First Lady, and the establishment of a society for the preservation of the White House, which would consist of the top members of all of the agencies most connected with it, that is, the Fine Arts Commission, Walton, the Parks Commission, Wadsworth, but now would soon be somebody else, the National Gallery of Art, Johnny Walker, the Smithsonian Institute at Mr. Carmichael, the White House Historical Association, I believe about some 6 or 8 basic organizations like that, and then 4 public members. Clark had said that Mrs. Kennedy had requested that 2 of those members be Mr. DuPont, the chairman of a fine arts commission, and Mr. Fosberg, the chairman of a painting commission. There couldn't be 2 with more sterling credentials, and there couldn't be anybody to whose wishes I'd want more to accede. But that left only 2 members, so I thought perhaps we'd want to enlarge the number of members of the public group in order to put more of my own stamp on it. And then Clark brought us the news that Mrs. Kennedy had agreed to serve on herself, which is something that I had asked her the very first day when I came to see her. I think it was the day after the funeral, Tuesday the 27th of November or thereabouts. And she will probably furnish the flame, the fuel for the forward moving of such an organization. So that will be wonderful. But now my job is to look around and find some people from the Southwest or the South with equally sterling credentials and of the Johnsonian tinge. And some of them, several of them, must be women. So it gets down to a job of research. The second part of the agenda is how to make the other members of the Fine Arts Committee and the Painting Committee feel that they are appreciated, how to retain their talents, their friendship, their future help. In short, how to keep the Johnson administration from bearing the brunt of being the one that put an end to the magnificent art adventure of the Kennedy administration. All of that must be wrapped up in a letter, and it will have to be a very good letter, for there are some wonderful people on that Fine Arts Committee and Painting Committee. Liz, of course, had her own ideas and got them in very forcefully about me making the announcement, and that was decided on and approved by Salinger and everybody when the action took place. And it will take place as soon as we can select our members. After about 3 hours of hard work, we said goodbye, and I jumped in the pool, which is hot as a Turkish bath, to drain out some of the uncertainties of all that I'd been doing. And then I drove out to Mr. Pear's with Linda Bird. My moments with her are stolen moments, but they're always good ones. Late that afternoon, the Jim Nashes from Austin came in to have a drink with me. They're here for Barbara Bob's wedding because the young man she's marrying, Dr. Sigmund, is one of those innumerable young men who've spent the summer with them, besides raising their own children and a couple of their relatives' children who became orphans. They've just had something as our own household has. Innumerable young folks passing through in the summertime for a month or 2 months or a week, and then something that I'd been looking forward to all week long blew up in my face like a pricked balloon. Abe Fortas had invited us to come out to dinner at his house, along with the Paul Porters and Justice and Mrs. Douglas, and Justice and Mrs. Black, only the Blacks couldn't get back from Florida. And I, who had been getting rather stir-crazy during the whole week, was really looking forward to getting out of the house. But it was decided that we had better not leave. And so everybody came over here to dinner instead, which was the next best thing. Linda was with us, and she's practically the age of the new Mrs. Douglas, the third Mrs. Douglas. And what an irony it was that I had run into at the beauty parlor just a few hours before Mercedes Douglas, who's off on a trip to the Virgin Islands, I think, and we'd made plans to get together as soon as she got back. The new Mrs. Douglas is there's only 86 pounds of her, and she's very young and sweet and trusting and nice. I guess sometime I'll give up trying to understand people, but I'll always love Bill and hope for the best for him. I had a moment of reminiscing with him about his days with Roosevelt. Paul Porter is the most unchanged of all of us. Has a good joke every 5 minutes, and told me that he and BG were seeing a lot of each other, and that all was well with him and BG's family. And he did mention that Bess was remarried, and I said yes, Linda Bird had spent a couple of weekends in a home in Florida. Bill and Mrs. Douglas are going to leave tomorrow to go down the Rio Grande of all rivers on a raft, a several-day trip. I wouldn't be surprised if they land up on a sandbar about every 100 yards, and they're going into the Big Bend country. They'll be gone for several weeks. She's as enthusiastic about it as he is. Carol, with her cigar, was just as sentimental and pragmatic and tough and soft-hearted. She's such a queer combination of a person. And she and Abe are two that are my always favorites. And what a lot they've had to suffer with all their friends who get divorces and come and lay 'em at their door.